Welcome to Overtures on Contract with the Best Christmas Pageant Ever, Part 1. Seeing as I recorded these two episodes on my phone and in person, without my typical mic, the audio quality is a bit different than usual, so I recommend turning up your volume. Hope you had a great holiday season. All links are in the show notes. Take your seats, and we'll be starting shortly. This is a fun new version of what we usually do here, obviously by the looks of it. Welcome to this On Contract series version of Overtures. It's some new uncharted territory, but I think this will be really fun. I have been wondering for a while when I was going to start with Overtures. I was wondering, when I book a show, what will happen to this? I don't want this show to disappear for a month or however long, so this is my solution to that while still being able to like chat with people and have a good old time. So yeah, this will be like a brief, smaller episode than you're usually used to, giving people an opportunity to like chat, but then also I can have these lovely people on at another point for a full length episode if we so choose. So if you're interested in seeing any of these people, like let me know, let us know. We'll do a full episode. It'll be great. And given the quickness of this particular contract that we're all working on together, we don't have too much time left. So I grouped up these lovely people together, and we'll possibly have another episode of a few people grouped up together. So we'll just do it in two parts and just in time for the holidays. But yeah, and of course you'll notice this is not live. I'm recording it currently in one of the housing locations where we're staying. I apologize for the lack of sound quality that you perhaps may be used to. I don't have my Yeti microphone with me today, but I hope you still enjoy it nonetheless. So then with that, we'll go ahead and get started. As you can see, I have three guests today, so I will introduce them all separately. So my first guest here is Derek Powell. Recent credits include Reverend Hopkins in The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, Edward Hyde in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. How do you pronounce that? Chenango River Theater. First Man in Kiss Me Kate at Cortland Repertory Theater. Andre in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with Red House. Zeus in An Odyssey at Hanger Theater. Max in the play That Goes Wrong at Syracuse Stage. He also originated the role of Alex in Love Is Love Is Love, the musical, earlier this year at 54 Below. Derek is a core member of the Building Company Theater Ensemble, which devises original theatrical productions and facilitates forum workshops for the CNY community. My second guest is Thomas Smith, who is an actor and singer based out of New Jersey. Previous credits include Smudge in Forever Plaid at Hale Center Theater. Mal, I know we were just talking about this. How do you pronounce this?
Beinecke
in Adam's Family at Priscilla Beach Theater. And Wilbur Turnblad in Hairspray on the Royal Caribbean. And the narrator in Fly By Night with Barely Theater Company.
Brelby.
Oh, I read right over that. Brelby Theater Company. He graduated from Arizona State University with a degree in musical theater, and his favorite shows were either made before his mother was born or, like, last week. I also feel that same. And then finally, my last guest here is Mandy Chiaro, who is an actor and seamstress based out of South Jersey. Did I pronounce your last name wrong?
Mandy Chiaro.
Chiaro. See?
Chiaro's
photo. You know, this is why I checked with people beforehand, and I just simply didn't today. But, you know, we're here. Who's an actor and seamstress based out of South Jersey. While in college studying opera, they started their own small business selling hair accessories and eventually began a costuming journey. When she isn't altering something beautiful in need of her attention, you can find Mandy performing in original Victorian-era shows through the Cape May Mac organization. All three of these lovely guests that I have today are staying together in this B&B we're filming in today while we all work on the best Christmas pageant ever at Millbrook Playhouse here in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania. So while being very incredibly talented and kind, they've also been nice enough to let us all of us come over from the hotel and do our laundry here. So thank you so much for that. So without further ado, Derek, Thomas, and Mandy. How are you all doing today?
Good. It's a good day. Yeah. It's one of our 2 days off this week. We're going to be in like a little bit of a crunch at the end, but right now it's really nice to get the breath.
Yeah, it's after doing three shows this week, I know that I'm very much grateful to be like, okay, now I have 2 days to like not be at the theater, veg out, do my own thing, drink hot toddies,
have
a grand time. So also, where are you all each originally from? I know we've talked about it a little bit, but I would love to hear about that.
So I was born and raised in Syracuse, New York, and I pretty much split my time between there and Astoria, Queens.
Oh, sick. Astoria's gorgeous. I need to, go visit there more. But yeah.
I was born in Mays Landing, New Jersey, so I'm down south, about, 15 minutes out from Atlantic City, but it's, all the forest, the part of the Garden State where, you call it that, not ironically. But yeah, and then I went to school in Arizona, which was also a lot of fun. Very different weather.
Yeah. Do you have any family out there or anything, or do you just
No, actually, I did a summer program in Massachusetts my first year of college, and I was looking to re-audition for schools, and a conductor that was working there also was finishing up his study at ASU, and he went and helped me. Figure out my auditions and put me up for a couple days.
Oh, that's so sweet.
No, it was really nice of him, and it wound up just being exactly what I was looking for in education.
That's really awesome. Yeah. That's really awesome. Mandy?
I'm from Cape May, New Jersey. So if you're looking at the state of New Jersey and there's a little tail at the bottom, mm-hmm. that little area.
Oh, nice. So you can be that tiny little face right there.
Technically, it's the nation's oldest resort town, which is something that I forget about, but it's probably
you're that is a thing that people talk about.
It's a beautiful area.
And I guess something that I should mention, that you two got to come on this contract together, which is really exciting.
Oh yeah, that was
you being an actor and you being a costumer. So how did that come about?
You two are dating?
wait,
we know each other.
Oh yeah, a kid asked that the other day, and that was really sweet. I applied for this, and nothing happened for a week. Mm-hmm. And knowing how fast summer stock stuff works, even though this is winter stock, I knew that probably meant that it wasn't panning out, and I was half right, because a week later, David calls me and goes, "Hey, so emailed me first, and I was like, "Hey, could you phone call?" And then I was like, "Yeah," and then he called me and was like, "So we had a local option for this, but he wound up backing out, so would you like to work on this thing?" And I was like, I'd love to. I see that you have, this show has a lot of kids. My partner actually is, incredibly, versed with costuming and wardrobe, especially with
children. And working with kids, yeah.
Yeah, because Mandy has, just gotten off of, a really, a couple months long contract costuming a couple of different shows for a theater company's youth program.
Yeah.
So I knew that Mandy would be incredible with making sure that the costumes not only looked good, but the kids were in their best mood. And because if you literally just need one person to make sure that they're
they're comfy.
That they're not unhappy, and then usually everything goes so much smoother. And it seemed that David agreed, because then he was like, "Hey, yeah, we'd love both of you guys to come out."
I love that, and that's so exciting that ended up working out so well too. I miss my partner at home right now, so the fact that you got to come together must have been such a joy, and be like, "Okay, we get to do this together, work in a theater together for a month."
It was wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
Because me and Mandy had been not getting to see, I think I only really saw her for 4 weeks over the last half a year, because I was on the ship.
That's
crazy.
And
then when I knew I was coming home, I knew the next thing I wanted to do was get to work on some shows with each other.
Yeah, 100%. I love that so much, and I'm glad that this panned out so that y'all could do that. So kind of getting around to the overtures part of this show is the question that I ask everyone. For you, for each of you, what was that overture or light bulb moment of theater is something that I want to do with my life, with my career? And feel free, if you're still thinking about it, that's totally fine. Whoever would like to go first can.
I was working on a production of Jim Leonard's The Diviners.
Oh, yes. 2019. Yes, yes, yes.
Beautiful play, and was with a group of people that I've known a long time. It was the last community theater production that I was really a part of, Because I knew 2019 was the year that I transitioned mm-hmm. out of my original career, which was in physical therapy.
Which is so cool.
And into a career in the arts full time. And I was sort of sitting on the fence, you know, paralyzed by a lot of the apprehension that anybody would have switching careers, but especially into one as unpredictable mm-hmm. as the theater. And just creating this work with a lot of people who were very close to me gave me a lot of confidence, and I felt very connected to the show emotionally. I'm still connected to that group of people. We actually all got a tattoo. The one tattoo that I have is the one that we all got. My best friend Isaac designed it.
It's a sick tattoo.
Thank you. Yeah, he was the buddy to my pastor showers. I play pastors a lot. I
get the
fastest passes all the time.
I do that.
Yeah, hey, it helps to know your time. But that was the moment for me that was like, oh no, I want to chase this, even if it's hard,
yeah.
even if it doesn't pan out, I really have to put everything into this.
Yeah, totally. Mandy or Thomas?
You go ahead.
Oh yeah, sure. It was actually like really, really early on. Well, not as early on as some people, but quite early on. Like when I was younger, like I feel like I always knew that this was like something adjacent to what I wanted to do, because when I would always like bop around and be like, I want to be a pop singer, and then it would be like, I want to be a professional wrestler for like 2 years, because I was like really on a WWE kick in middle school.
Like,
no,
it's
stage combat taken to the logical extreme.
Yeah,
true.
Mixed with some like soap opera, and a lot of it's actually stage improv. They call it cutting a promo, but it's like literally all just like monologuing about how much of a loser the guy you're about to fight is. And you usually have to make it up on the spot, and there are like tropes you need to like feed into to like know how to like cut one without like
my brain
that.
Is also like, this is also kind of like Commedia dell'arte, where you like have to know the
oh my
tropes,
god, it's so
it's
so that, but
yeah.
If you came into it saying any of that stuff, I feel like,
yeah,
they'd
be like,
they'd give you a wedgie. But like I was really into that for a while, and then like I went off that, and I tried to do football, which was not smart for like a 5'8" sensitive boy.
That's fair.
And, but like sometime during October of my freshman year of high school, my mom was like, let's go see Beauty and the Beast in Philadelphia, and I was like, no, I don't want to see a musical. Meanwhile, I was in the school choir already. I somehow just like compartmentalized that as like just
yeah, it's like it's
thing.
A separate thing.
Yeah, like like so like I go and I'm like hemming and hawing the entire time. I'm like, Mom, I don't want to go see Beauty and the Beast. Drive me out to Philadelphia. I just want to stay home and play my video games. And so I go and I'm sitting down and like I enjoy the first act. Like, and it's nice. Like, it's Beauty and the Beast. You're not like the second it starts, you're not gonna hate it.
Yeah.
So but then like. And, like, mind you, I went to, like, a high school where, like, it was, like, very, like, R&B, pop music, like, high equals good.
Yeah.
And I've always been a low voice singer. So, like, I just, like, was, like, okay, so, like, music might not wind up being my thing.
Right.
And so, like, I just, like, was, like, all right, so what else am I good at? And not much, it turned out. But I wound up watching this production of Beauty and the Beast. And, everything is like happening, and then act one ends and it comes to the B solo, that If I Can't Love Her, where like it like it's like the first time I like really got to hear like somebody with like a low dark voice carrying part of a show and singing something that was like beautiful and like haunting, and I was like, oh, this is like a thing where there's a spot for, like, there should be a spot for everybody in this thing. Like if you bring something unique and cool to the table, there will be something for you in something somewhere.
Yeah.
And the synapses didn't fire all at once. But, like, I really feel like that was, like, the time when I was, like, I genuinely want to do some musicals.
Yeah. No, I think that's so special. It's again, it always speaks to that conversation of representation and, like, seeing somewhere you can fit on stage that, like, obviously connects with so many people, and that makes sense. Like, there's a lot of roles that are made for tenors and, like, all this other stuff. So to see, like, oh, I have a voice similar to that, I can do that, like, that 100% makes sense. And Beauty and the Beast is such a gorgeous show, so.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Mandy, how about you?
Goodness. I've would say that I got involved in shows at a time that is probably typical for most people. Like, I was, like, going into high school, and I was, like, in the ensemble and things like that.
Yeah.
And, like, way further back than that, my dad actually used to bring me to New York, and I would go and see Broadway shows and things like that when I was, like, 7, 8, 9, like, and I... You know, at like 17 or so, it's like, okay, you got to pick something practical, and I wanted to be a music teacher. I so badly thought that I wanted to be like a choir director, and I went to school, I classically trained and everything, and during my time there, it's not that I was having a bad time, it's more that I felt like I was missing out on things that other people around me were doing, but I was so focused on like my ensembles and like where do I fit in a cog and machine. And then stepping away from that, I have had to kind of carve out my own little space. So if anything, I feel like I've come back to it in the most roundabout way. So like, I went from like, oh, let me tie up some broken t-shirts and things and tie them on my head and call it a headband and start selling them, to like, how do I work a sewing machine, to I can help you mend the choir dresses that need to be fixed, to eventually just continuing to like try to improve upon that skill. And Thomas was actually involved in the production of Falsettos, where they needed somebody to costume, and they were kind enough to ask me to come along for that. And now this is my 5th show in under a year where I've been hired as some type of costuming wardrobe assistant.
Awesome.
But also at the same time, I'm still able to fill my own cup in the back of my own head, at least doing the straight plays and Kate May with the original like Victorian era comedic things like
100%.
That, for like tourists and things like that.
Yeah, and especially like when you wear multiple hats, it's like, how do I make sure that I still like as you were saying, fill all the cups and like make sure, okay, like I am following all, like I want to be able to like pursue all those like small things, and it sometimes it's hard to balance all of them. So like I 100% respect, like,
and
okay,
still
how do I
like
still
I'm
like
coming
get
back
that?
To it now?
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. Like,
it's always a balancing conversation of like, how do I do this? I don't know what I'm doing. So in terms of where we're at in the current production process that we're working on, we just finished our first weekend of shows, and which is funny to say because I'm like, we still have more shows rather than less shows coming.
Yeah.
Because we finished our first weekend was 3 shows, but then this coming week we have 6 because it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 2 on Saturday, 1 on Sunday. And so I'm like, we actually have 2/3 of the show run to go, which is very funny.
Right,
I know, I can hear the laundry.
It just stopped, so I'm going to make sure it doesn't keep beeping.
It'll just keep singing.
Yeah. I'll leave an option in the recording for myself to edit if I want. Maybe I'll put a, like a little thing being like, laundry, and then we'll come back. Or we just leave it as this. We'll see how it goes when I edit.
Who knows?
But yeah, coming back to it though. But yeah, so we still have 6 shows to go, which is wild, but it's been a fun production process. How are you guys feeling now that we've had like 3 shows done?
Oh, great. I mean, the longest thing of it all, like of any production, is always rehearsals.
Yes. Yeah. I felt like Tech felt really long for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it was. We learned the show in like 4 days, but like Tech felt longer somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have a really, you know, I don't do a ton in this show, and it has... This has been like a mini vacation for me, really, getting away to Lockhead in Haven, Pennsylvania, but not a super intensive, I mean, a short rehearsal period, so you know, consistent with the summer stop theater, but for me, because I don't have a ton to do, it hasn't been a super stringent process, you know, you'll have larger roles in the show,
I truly have a princess track. I come in for a one scene, like, near the beginning of Act 1, I chill backstage, I go out, sing one of, like, the 2 songs where there's, like, a lot of, like, exposed solo lines.
But you make it,
it's a lot of fun, but, like, to say I do a lot just doesn't feel accurate.
So we've been having, like, it's been a good, easy, fun time. I feel like the hardest working person is Mandy. Honestly, Mandy's bringing so many things.
Well, it was very funny because we were learning the whole show in a week, and then suddenly, like, you had been working on costumes and things in the back, and so you finally got to see the show for the first time after we all learned it. So I loved that. Like, that day was so special because I was like, you finally get to see what we've been working on. And, like, I know that was a super fun day.
That's what makes it worth it for me. Also, I'm not gonna lie, it's also the kids. Like, the ensemble of children, there's a light in their eyes that...
It reminds you why you like this.
It reminds me of why I like it, yeah. And it's almost like, there's everything in you that just wants you to make it as comfortable and as happy of an experience as you can, as, like, you know, Mandy, a button fell off of my skirt and we had 10 minutes until places. And I'm like, absolutely, easy peasy.
Well, and especially when, like, they had been working on it for a month prior and we walk into this process and be like, okay, we're here, let's do this. Like, I felt like they welcomed us with open arms. And I'm like, thank you guys. Like, you all are so sweet and kind and young. And also, it's like, it ranges from, like, fourth graders to 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
So, like,
no, it's literally,
but they've all been so
17 is, like, what's in this cast. That's the widest range that I've ever costumed to.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, aside from the, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%.
You're right. It feels like their show. We're just coming into their world that they've built, which makes our jobs even easier.
They gave us backstories like before we even.
Like, this is my backstory. And I'm like, cool. Yeah, they're wild because they're fun, but, like, it's so funny. And I would love to hear from you guys. We can obviously tag team it and that kind of thing. What is the best Christmas pageant ever about? I know that, like, we were just talking about this. We had to go on the radio and answer that question so briefly. But, like,
Christmas.
Like, it's about Christmas and there's a pageant.
I think if you, like, strip away, like, all of, like, I mean, first of all, like, it's such a fun, it's very fun. It's very well done. Like, but it's vintage. It's stylized. It's very, like, Christmas!
Yeah,
and, like, very smiley, but, like, when you strip all that away, it's, like, really a story about, like, about accepting the people who need it the most and who usually wind up being the first people that the world deems okay to other. And, like, this show is kind of like, no, you need to be nice to them, too.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of phrasing it. And, like, it's very sweet because it's phrased in this, like, oh, the horrible Herdmans are the rottenest kids and, like, all this other stuff. But, like, it does get into that, like, deeper emotional part of, like, oh, like, these are people who need it. Yeah, yeah.
Like, you feel for them quickly, too.
Yeah.
And thankfully, like, characters like yours and, like, the, like, you know,
kooky church ladies.
It's very, like, it's not that it's in your face either. I think it's a very measured, like...
It's in your face, but in the way where it's like, here comes the airplane.
of the othering not being so in your face.
Oh, yeah. Like,
it's very campy.
Yeah, it's a very fun way to digest that.
But, like, we have so much fun being all campy. Like, Yeah, no, 100%.
If I could pick it back, I think it's ultimately a show about community.
Totally.
The importance of community in our lives today. There's obviously a very specific community that this show is giving to us, this religious small town community. It's a very middle America picture, so it's relatable to a lot of audiences, specifically in this area. But I think in the story of a community that is somewhat fractured, you know, socioeconomically, this family is...
And also, like, adults versus kids.
You know, adults versus kids, rich versus poor. You know, there's some hypocrisy that's pointed at in this show that I think is really relevant. And acceptance and intolerance
maybe.
Something interesting that Thomas and I were talking about with this is that it's interesting to see, like, even in that opening number, how it's like the kids are responding out of fear, but the parents or the adults in the situation, at least a majority of them, are responding in a way of, like, just don't associate with them.
Yeah.
Just don't talk to them. Just don't bother with them.
And, like, the kids are like, well, that's not an option, but...
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's, like, it's very...
And if you look at the book, most of
it's based on a novel.
Well, the book of the show too. Like, if you like look at like what happens, usually the Herdmans like they're like brusque and like not like super like refined, but they tend to not like do anything like to anybody until somebody steps on them first.
Yeah.
Like, they'll usually just be, like, chilling, doing their thing, like, messing with each other. Mm-hmm. And then they'll overhear somebody being like, oh, God, they're here again. And then they'll be like...
They step in.
And then they'll be like, oh, you said something? Where's your lunch? Give it to me.
Yeah.
They're victims not only of hardship, but of small-town gossip, which is really outburdened to bear.
And they lean into it, which is, like... It's their way of protecting themselves as well.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't lean into it, then they'd just be victims.
And, like, I know it's been so special to watch these kids form their own community working on this show and, like, bringing us into that community. And, like, this show in many ways, it's like the kids, like, go around and, like, hug before show. And I mean, like, have a good show. Like,
so supportive of each other.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's a great point, Laura, about the kids being, you know... Kids versus adults.
Yeah.
Kids have to teach the adults in the show.
Yes, that's a huge part of it.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge...
Yeah, a huge theme. We're like, wow, mic drops over here. Like, but it's true, though. It's the kids who are the ones that point out, like, hey, the adults effed up. Like, how we fix this and that kind of thing. So what do each of you do? We've already talked about this a little bit, but, like, what do each of you do and who do you play in the story?
I play the Reverend Hopkins, who is, you know, trying to be... something of a spiritual leader to this congregation, and just trying to be a single dad and raise his kid and raise him to be a part of the community, you know? He's really trying to shape this community in some ways.
Yeah,
like
the church ladies, unfortunately, make it a little hard for him. but yeah. How about Thomas?
I'm playing Bob, the husband of, like, the main character, Grace, who's played by Marissa.
Yeah, the Bradley family.
Yeah, Bob Bradley. And he's facing a very hard dilemma in this show. On one hand, he really wants to support his wife and be there and be the rock she needs to make this show what it has to be. But on the other hand, he just really does not want to be there. He would love to do anything... up until walking through the doors to the pageant. And it's a battle he's doomed to fail. And I have a teacher who's always told me that the fun part isn't the end, but it's watching the person try.
Yeah. he definitely tries to get out of it so many times.
Every scene. With tooth and nail, he does.
And, of course, we were talking about your involvement with costumes and things like that.
So I basically come in and make sure that everyone is... pressed and steamed, and I've snuck my way into the show into a little white jacket for like 30 seconds to push a wheelchair on and off.
We very much appreciate it.
Because, like,
it's dark.
It's
very dark. We're going to work on that another time, my back hurts. But it's been a really fulfilling experience because, like, I just like to be the person around when there's a kid where it's like, I can't find my left sock. I have no idea where it went. I'm like, this isn't even a thing that you need to worry about. You need to go to your place and I will bring them right to you. Thank you so much, Jane Doe. It's fantastic.
And so I'm curious, are there any experiences that have been, like, throughout this process, rehearsal tech show, funny stories or any, like, cool experiences you've had while working on this show? We've only been doing it for 2 weeks, but I feel like there's been so many funny little things. Like, I know Imogene during the Christmas pageant looks at Teresa and I and just waves little baby Jesus's hand at the beginning of the song, and like, we're sitting there trying not to laugh and no one notices but us. So that's a big favorite of mine. But I'm curious to see if you guys have any fun tidbits from rehearsal or otherwise.
I haven't, but now that you asked, every single story in my head just like went like no, like I hadn't been here all of a sudden. Like, I just flew here today.
You're like, I couldn't tell you. I don't remember.
Like, I have no recollection of this place. So if anybody remembers any, you, like, hang out with the kids a lot more than I do.
Honestly, my favorite bits are helping them get their hair braided back out of their eyes, and like hearing about how their school day was, and also like watching them help each other. That is like, it's such a rewarding thing that I'm like, I see things like that, I'm like, oh, the kids are all right, because it's like, nobody, I'm very thankful to like say that I'm seeing such a positive environment, especially amongst all the kids. Everyone is so like kind to each other.
Yeah.
And even the other night, I went to go walk through that one curtain right after the reverend bit, like I always do.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up to it and the curtain was open for me. And I was like, who in the world? And it's your son in the show that was holding the thing.
Elmer Hopkins.
Oh, he opens it up. I walk through the thing and he goes, and I was like, I want to cry right now. Like, the fact that anybody even noticed that it was me doing that, or like had the thought to like, let me make this easier for them for like 2 seconds, like it was appreciated. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't ask for that. Nobody asked for that. They're just like smart, creative, compassionate, hardworking kids that care so deeply, and it shows.
Until they try to mug you for a slushie.
But also the 9-year-old, 10-year-old who wants a slushie so badly.
I have a very adversarial relationship with this one girl named Amelia, who works. She's in the.
She works you for a slushie.
Well, no, she's in the ensemble of the show, but she's this sweet little lady, and I came in one time with a slushie, and she was like, "You give me one next time," and I keep on getting her one on the days she's not there
because it's like double cast situation.
And then she comes and she's like, "Where's my slushie?" I'm like, yesterday.
You weren't here yesterday. I don't know what to tell
you. She's so mad.
The kids are just like overflowing with manners, though.
Yeah.
Like, he made a reference to the show where he's like singing to himself and he's like, "You're ruining my show." And she comes up to him out of nowhere and goes, "Stop ruining shows." And I went, "Do you want me to get your hair out of your eyes, little miss?" And she goes, "Yes, please." And then sits herself right down on a chair ready to get her hair braided. And I'm like, I love you. That's why. That's literally, this is why I do it. Because like of kids like that.
Yeah. Do you have any fun thoughts, experiences, things like that?
It goes off of the kids creating such wildly intricate
backstories.
Like, according to them, all of us are like these like infidelitous, like murderous, petty gremlins.
Yeah.
Like, that's what adult Christian life is to them.
A lot of tragedy to story.
Yeah, like, we're all orphans now. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh.
Like, everybody's cheating on everybody.
Yeah, all because your character doesn't have a parent in the show doesn't mean you're all orphans.
Right. We're doing
things. Not specify whether or not Reverend Hopkins has a wife or is a single parent, but Connor, who plays my son Elmer, has decided that my wife passed away of a terrible illness just like something like 18 months before the events of the show. Or no, I think 2 years before on Christmas. So it heightens the stakes of Christmas for us. And we have difficulty communicating, and we have this whole like C or D level plot that you only get if you really pay attention to the interactions between Connor and myself. But that was all his idea. He was just like, "This is what's going to happen." And I was like, "I'm here for the ride, you know? This is your show, Connor." He's great.
Connor's incredible. All of his line readings are just
incredible.
Just, yeah. He sounds like a Big Mouth character, and it just kills me.
I love it so much. What are some things that you guys are looking forward to going into this last week of shows?
I love a two-show day.
I
actually do really love a two-show day.
It's fun. Like, it's the time in between the two shows that you're just like, what do we do? There's like some chaotic energy there that I absolutely adore.
Yeah, the chaos of it is really what I love. And this is that something that happens organically over the run of a show like this, with as many children as we have, is that just naturally, chaos will start to emerge. Things go a little bit off the rails in a way that I think adds to the show.
Especially this, where like the climax is like a children's Christmas pageant.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And like, I know I have family coming the last show, so like, that's something that I'm looking forward to. But yeah. Amazing. This kind of comes to the end of our little mini episode here, but do you all have anything coming up that we should be looking out for? We're finishing up the year, all that good stuff. Laundry finished again.
You
go first because we actually have an announcement
I'll be heading back to Syracuse to celebrate the holidays with my family.
Lovely.
And then I'm starting rehearsals for a production of By the Way, Meet Vera Stark.
Oh, yes!
Great Lynn Nottage play.
Fantastic.
In Syracuse. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
That's so much fun. I'll plug this in other ways later on, but I'm gonna be at 54 Below again doing a concert with Rainbow Sun Productions. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be the songs. I should remember the exact name of it. It's Songs of Mischief and Magic, so it's gonna be songs from Roald Dahl adaptations. So it's gonna be like Matilda, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, James and the Giant Peach. It's gonna be a good time. I'll plug more about it later. But what do you guys got coming up?
All right, so we're headed home for the holidays as well. We're probably hosting Christmas for the family, Ooh. Which is gonna be the first time that it's not gonna be at my mom's house. It'll be really fun. And then we're headed to Indiana to Myers Dinner Theater.
Head my hometown.
Yes. and Maddie's gonna be costuming The Sound of Music, and I'm gonna be playing Uncle Max.
I'm
working out of the dads, going to uncles now.
Yes. Yes.
Slowly but surely.
It's a lateral move. I might eventually play my age.
It's perfect. Where can we find all of you guys on social media?
At Derek Emerson Powell.
Beautiful. I'll tag everything below, so like, don't worry.
At Thomas Smith, but the O is a 0 and the I is a 1.
Hey.
And there's like a little underscore between my names.
Perfect.
At Mandy, spelled M-A-N-D-I, underscore Chiaro, spelled C-H-I-A-R-O. And you can also find my small business selling hair accessories at Mandy Made That, spelled the same way. No E, no Y.
Heck yeah. And look. Check her out for holiday gifts. You never know.
Please, they're
very nice. Yeah, amazing. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Laura_Marjoram and my website, www.lauramarjoram.com. You can find this lovely show on Instagram at Overtures Show. On YouTube, search Overtures Show. If you're watching this, you're probably watching it there. Or you're listening to the audio version of it that I will eventually edit for Spotify and Apple Music. So you're listening in one of those places. Comment, say hi, all that good stuff. I want to shout out people, so like make a comment, do a rating. I don't know how it works, but like come say hi. We'll continue the dialogue and all that good stuff. Do any of you have any final thoughts for viewers? I would say live and in the future, but this is not live. So for in the future, when people watch this, any final thoughts before we end this episode?
I don't think so. This has been fun.
Yay! I'm so glad.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Of course. Thank you for allowing me to rope y'all into this. But yeah.
Keep supporting live theater. Thank you for finding yourself at this episode.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Nice to each other.
Yes. That's a big one. So yeah. Thank you guys so much, and happy holidays. See y'all later.